You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Hi, how are you? It's great to be here with you this morning, my friends. It's been 6 months since I've seen you. How are you all? For those that don't know me, my name is Pastor Phil Warden, and I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway Church. The title of my message this morning is How Amazing is Jesus? One of the most amazing books in the Bible is the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews opens with this important statement: God has spoken to us in His Son. The writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, God spoke in many and varied ways to His people in the Old Testament by the prophets. But in these last days, that's the days which we live now, He speaks to us by His Son, Jesus. And near the end of the book, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25, it says, make very sure that you never refuse to listen to God when He speaks. You see, Hebrews is a book of contrasts. It tells us that Jesus is better than the angels, for they worship Him. He's better than Moses, because He created Moses. He's better than Aaron's priesthood, for his sacrifice was once and for all. He is better than the law, for He mediates a better covenant. Better blood sacrifice, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but His own precious blood. Better promises. Well, we heard that last week. Through this pandemic, where things have been uncertain, not sure of the future or what it would look like, we've heard it said that things will never be the same. So because of this, it is great time to confess, Jesus, I put my trust in You. Why don't you say it right now? Jesus, I put my trust in You. You see, the Bible speaks a lot about trust. In Psalms 28, verse 7, it says, the Lord protects and defends me. I trust in Him. He gives me help and makes me glad. I praise Him with joyful songs. Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in the Lord at all times, my people. Tell Him all your troubles, for He is our refuge. In Psalm 56, verse 3, it says, when I'm afraid, O Lord Almighty, I put my trust in You. Psalm 32, verse 10, those who trust the Lord are protected by His constant love. And in Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, it's dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, but if you trust in the Lord, you will be safe. So whatever you're going through right now, you may be going through difficulties, you may be going through some tough times. It's a great time to say, God, I trust in You. But this morning, I want to focus on three verses in the book of Hebrews. And to break open these verses so we can have it bite-sized and digest it to help us in our walk with God. Firstly, we have a high priest who speaks on our behalf to our Father God. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. The New Living Translation says, let us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. This verse tells us that Jesus is our high priest. He has passed through the heavens to take His seat at the right hand of His Father in the third heaven where God dwells. We have the first heaven, the sky above us. We have the second heaven, which is the stars. But beyond the stars is heaven where God dwells. And I've got good news for you. That's where we're going to go. Those that love the Lord Jesus, that is where we're going to go one day to be with Him forever. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it says he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That means he'll never let you down. He's compassionate towards you. In Hebrews 8, verse 1, it says, he is our high priest who is seated at the right hand of the God, of the throne of God in majesty in heaven. Jesus is not just any high priest, but is our high priest who is in the very throne room of God, ready to minister to any who are struggling right now. In Hebrews 4, verses 15, it says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feelings with our weaknesses, our infirmities and liabilities to assaults and temptations, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. The New Living Translation says it like this, the high priest of ours understand our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet without sin. You know, Jesus did it as a man. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man. So he feels our pain. He feels your pain right now. He is able to respond to you in his love, his mercy, and his grace. Secondly, the writer then urges us to hold fast our confession. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. The word hold fast means to hold on, hang on, never let go. I know you might be going through difficulties. God knows that when we go through our times of trials and times of difficulties, but he's encouraging us this morning, hold on tenaciously. Hold on to his word. Hold on to him. What do we need to hold on to? Our confession. Confession means to say the same thing, to agree with God's word and say it. In Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, he is called, that's Jesus, he is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Jesus takes our confession and he makes it powerful. Powerful. Jesus created everything by his word. He is the word, the Bible says. And Jesus has given us the authority to use the word as if he was saying it. My words in your mouth is just as great as my words in my mouth. That is what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus created everything by his word. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him, that's Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You overcome by confessing what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for you. When we speak God's word, God, Jesus takes it to the Father and asks him to perform it. In John 16, verse 23, it says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What is it that you need to ask? Maybe you've got something you need to ask. Before the end of the service, why don't you ask God? What's in your heart? Ask him. Ask, the Bible says, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. But here's an important point. When you come before Jesus, don't speak words of defeat. Speak words that he can implement on your behalf. Words of victory. That's what he's been ordained by God to bring to pass in our lives, in my life and yours. Learn to talk victory. Talk victory. I can. I can. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you make a good confession. You make a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It's called a good fight. Why? Because we're fighting from victory, not for victory. Now start making that good confession and share it with others. When you feel things are getting on top of you and you feel like throwing in the towel, start confessing the word over your life and over your family. Hold fast to your confession. Say what he says about you. Be assertive. Be tenacious when you say it. I am more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me will prosper. By his stripes I am healed. I'm not moved by what I see and what I feel. I'm only moved by God's word. I say to this mountain of fear, of worry, of anxiousness, be gone from my life. Be gone from my family. That's what it means to make a good confession. Do it often. Do it daily. As often as you can. Thirdly, come boldly. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a continuous tense. It means to keep coming. Keep coming to the throne of grace. Keep coming. Don't stop coming. And the word he uses for boldly was a word that the people of Athens coined some 400 years before Jesus walked this earth. And it describes the democratic right of free speech that every citizen of Athens had by law. The word paresia means to speak whatever is on your mind. You can say whatever you want to say without restraint, without any fear of reprisal or being put in prison. Any free citizen of Athens could go to the place of assembly, get on a soapbox, and stand up and say whatever he wanted to say. He could criticize the politics of the day. He could criticize the commercial policies. He could discuss the arts and the culture. He had the right of paresia, a freedom of speech, freedom to say anything and everything he wanted to say in the public place of assembly. Now, it's interesting that the writer of Hebrews takes hold of this word when he comes to this, and he says, when you come to the throne of grace, we have the right to come boldly, to come with paresia. It means that when you come to the Lord in prayer, you not only have a right, but also a requirement before God to speak what truly is on your heart. You know, some people pray to God, but never really tell them how they really feel deep down. They think they must speak only good things, religious things. God listens to the spoken word only when it reflects honesty, when you think and not and what you really think and what you really feel. Some Christians have lost the capacity to be honest with God. They're afraid to tell God how they really feel, how they really think. They have abandoned their right of paresia. Whatever you say with your mouth, God already knows what you're thinking. And let's take hold of this. You can never make God angry when we're honest before him. You take the book of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. Not all the Psalms are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. There are something like 70 Psalms that speak of complaint, of sorrow, of regret, of questions. For instance, Psalm 10, verse 1, it says, why do you stand afar off, O God? Or why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You find the same thing in the Old Testament with the prophets. Jeremiah 20, verse 7, it says, O Lord God, you have persuaded and deceived me, and I was persuaded and deceived. You see, Jeremiah didn't hide his true feelings. These men spoke honestly with God. And one of the reasons why we don't get our prayers answered is that the fact that maybe we're not as honest as we should be. We need to open up and tell him exactly how I feel. He says, when you speak boldly, that is with paresia, with honesty, before the Lord, that's when he hears us. So when we come to God, come on, let's speak boldly to him. Continuing on with that verse in verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That word help is used only twice in the New Testament, here in Hebrews 4:16 and in Acts 27. Paul was on his way, if you read chapter 27, Paul was on his way to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. He's on a ship with 276 people, sailors, prisoners, and soldiers, and so on. And as they were sailing across the Mediterranean Sea, a terrible storm arose and began to buffet the boat. But I want you to notice a word in that passage, in verse 17 of chapter 27. It says, "They took measures to undergird the ship." The sailors wrapped the ship with rope, wrapped it around to hold the ship together. And the word undergird is the same word as help in Hebrews 4:16. It describes a way of rescuing ships that have been battered to pieces in the storm. You know, they would tie up the ship. They would take it, connect it to a winch, and they begin to twist it and twist it and twist it and pull the rope tight together and force the plankings, the ship made of wood, force it to come together to stop the water coming in. And they would do it probably about four or five times across the bow of the boat, the length of the ship, to effectively save it from being wrecked. Now, there is an equivalent English word to describe that word. Undergird and help. And it's the English word frap or frapping. 100 years ago, in the days of wooden sailing ships, it was a commonly used term. So this frapping, the vessel was done to stop the wooden ships from breaking apart. That's the time to come to God, to the throne room of God with boldness, find his mercy, and let the Lord frap you, pulling you together and stopping you from falling apart. And we need this sometimes. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a real downer. And I spoke to my wife and said, "Come on, let's pray." And we just prayed and said, "God, hold us together. Bring us through this feeling of despondency and so on." And it wasn't long before God began to lift us out of that feeling of despondency and despair. When it says help in time of need, it means you can come anytime. You come anytime to God. Anytime, anywhere, any need to God. So keep coming. When you have a need, it may be a small, you say, "Oh, it's too small." Keep coming, and share it with God and let him frap you. Let him hold you together so that you don't fall apart. Let me finish with an amazing story that I read. It's the story of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian. Her and her family had helped Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. And by all accounts, they saved 800 lives from the gas chamber. And you can read her story in the book, The Hiding Place. The story I'm about to tell you occurred a few years later. She said, "It was a church service in Munich that I saw him. The former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had ever seen that time. And suddenly it was all there." She had a flashback. The room full of mocking soldiers as we were undressing. Heaps of clothing. And I can see the pain on my sister Betsy's face. He came up to me at the church as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am to see and hear your message, Fräulein," he said. "To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away. His hand was thrust forward for mine to take. And I, who had preached so often to the people in Bloemendaal the need to forgive, kept my hand by my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I pray, forgive me and give me the help to forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hands. I could not. I felt nothing, not even the slightest spark of warmth, of love. And so I breathed again a silent prayer to Jesus. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hands, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it's not on my forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. He tells us to love our enemies. He gives, along with the command, the love itself. Jesus came to her in her time of need and wrapped her around in his love and gave her the grace to forgive. You know, that's what he wants to do for you and I. He wants to wrap us. He wants to put his loving arms around us, hold us together. Let me just pray for you for a moment. Why don't you just close your eyes as I pray for you? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, whatever your people are going through right now, whatever any person who's listening in, seeing this message, I pray, Father God, that you'll wrap them in your everlasting arms. You're God, you're known as the God of all comfort, and we pray that you'll comfort them, strengthen them, and wrap them, hold them together. Let them not ever fall apart. And let them know, Father God, that you're for them and not against them, that your love is for them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.